Dum, da dum, da da. Goes and drops that puck. Claude Giroux's gonna do what he do. Now pass that out, we gon' show him what we bout. It's the orange cross, too good, we shout. Too hot for the Penguins, we shut them down. And if you talking reckless heart, no, we'll shut that mouth out. So hype my whole city, be chillin' at Xfinity. Live five guys checking hard like Simmons. Shannon Grossman, be all in your vicinity. With JBR and Ruben checking, no, you ain't winning. Be when y'all can start saluting, and Couturier, you shooting. Brienne's fist pumping, so you know that we ain't losing. The comeback kids this season, it is proven. If you ain't on Broad Street, man, I'll see you in the future.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get a fly, guys, come and knock it at your door. So let him in, let him in, let him in.
We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review,
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 review.
Official
review,
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 review.
Official
review,
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 review.
Review.
What's up, gang? It is the Upon Official Review podcast back in action. It is April 30th, so you know what that means. It's gonna be May. It is definitely going to be May, and we got some great sports action going right now. Well, the Flyers we do anyway.
Absolutely. It's been a good last couple of weeks for Philly sports.
Absolutely.
And the weather's starting to turn.
Yep.
And everything's just kind of on an upswing here. Not everything, but I think everybody's pretty happy. Hey, everybody. Glad you're listening.
Yep.
I'm Al, along with my partner, Ari.
What's up, gang?
Welcome to the Upon Official Review podcast, episode number 30,
I believe. Wow.
So episode 30, we're recording it on the 30th, so maybe that'll give us some good luck.
Nice little
coincidence. Thanks for listening. Hope you guys enjoy the show.
Definitely. Download the show always on uponofficialreview.com, and definitely check uponofficialreview.com every single day because we will be updating the blog constantly. We have made a reconcerted effort to give you guys some insight as often as possible. So check
Absolutely.
The site rather than just, once a week or once every 2 weeks with podcasts and other kind of updates. And, check the Facebook. There will be constant blog updates with news on all your favorite teams and some deep insight that you're not going to get anywhere else. So definitely bookmark uponofficialreview.com. for the podcast and everything else.
We're going to be hitting it hard, and you guys are going to be, if you love Philly sports, that's the only place to be getting your Philly sports knowledge.
Absolutely.
We're coming at you, so you guys better be ready. That's
and you get the best of both worlds, really. You'll get that deep kind of insight, kind of the behind-the-scenes things that you may not be thinking about, statistics-wise, player personnel-wise, things like that. And then, get your humor, too, because we definitely like to make you guys laugh. So tune in as much as possible, and definitely
we think
you'll enjoy it. We think it'll be worth your while. So let's start off talking the number one team right now in Philadelphia, who's got the heart of the fans, and that is our Philadelphia Flyers, the orange and the black. Just had a spectacular overtime win against the Devils and played an amazing series against the Penguins.
Absolutely. The odds on Stanley Cup favorite.
Yeah, favorite.
Vegas had them installed as the favorites to win the entire thing.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, no, they were the odds on Cup favorites, and there was a sizable difference in the odds between them and even the second most favored team. They were definitely the far and away Cup favorites.
Well, that makes sense.
Flyers,
a healthy Crosby, Malkin.
Oh, yeah.
They had a
Jordan
penalty.
Stahl, Marc-Andre Fleury, the defenseman, the name's escaping me. What's the guy's name? They just had all-star.
Yep.
They basically had an all-star team.
Yep.
And the Flyers not
their
only beat
teams
them,
were good.
But whoop
their special teams
oh,
had
yeah.
really good.
They had
though.
The third best penalty kill in hockey during the regular season. And we completely owned them. We scored over 50% of our power plays,
that
12
was
for 23.
Ridiculous how good
it was
the power
absurd.
Play
was. It was absurd. It just
I've
they
never
had no
seen a
chance
power play operate with that kind of efficiency. Never.
No,
especially on a Flyers team.
No team, but yeah. Oh, I mean, it had been 30 years or something since somebody had a – like the only time in the last 30 years since they've been keeping the statistic, there was two teams that had over 40%, but nobody was over 50%. So it's like the best ever for a playoff round.
Yeah, I was
– at least that's been
my
recorded.
Mind how effective that was. I'd never
and
seen –
it was just – in the Penguins' heads, they knew every time they went to the box that we were going to make them pay, and we did. We just kept over and over and over putting the puck in the net, and it was awesome.
At what point it was over like 60%, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they were like 7 for 11. It was some insane number
right.
early in the series. It was just – it was absurd. I mean, like I keep saying that, but it was really – that's all you can say about it. It was – it doesn't happen. And in the playoffs – playoffs?
Playoffs?
I mean, that doesn't happen in the playoffs. That doesn't happen in the regular season.
Yeah, exactly.
Playoffs, you know, it's so much tighter and it's so much harder, less room on the ice. Everybody wants it. And to have a performance like that is just stunning. And Pittsburgh should – I mean, let's face it. Once Crosby came back, he scored 37 points in 22 games, which is just ridiculous.
Wow.
And they went on like a 12-game winning streak. I mean, they were on fire once Crosby came back. And to just go out 3-0 on that, I mean, beat them twice in their own building to start the series off, having come back from deficits both times,
yep,
including in the game one, 3-0 at the end of one, 3-1 with 10 minutes to go in the third period, and to win it in overtime, and then to beat them, what was it, 8-3 in game two?
Yeah.
Just speaks volumes about...
8-3. Yeah, sounds about right. Yep.
Yeah, I think we scored. Didn't we score 8 goals like 2 games in a row against them or something like that?
Yeah, I think Couturier and Giroux had hat tricks.
It was 6 goals one game and then 8 goals the next game. So it was just the offensive outburst that the Flyers had was just ridiculous.
It was. It was phenomenal.
You know, the Flyers let off the gas a little bit, which you know can't help to do at 3-0.
Right. Yeah.
I always like to say in hockey, you're always nervous in a playoff series until it's over, unless you're up 3-0, and then you get one game to where you don't even care if you lose it. But once it's 3-1, then you start thinking, well, if we lose this game, it's 3-2, and then all of a sudden you're back game 7. You know, but the 3-0 lead is a say, especially when you like having a 3-0 lead when you have home ice too, and you get 2 out of 3 coming back at home. But so it was a little actually more precarious the Flyers because they were the road team in that series, so it was like all of a sudden if they don't show up for game 4, which they didn't, you go home, play, you know, you go back to Pittsburgh in game 5, play a great game, Pittsburgh wins because they also played a great game, 3-2, and then now all of a sudden it's game 6 before you know it, and you know, if you don't win this, Pittsburgh's gonna have game 7 at home having just beaten you 3 times in a row. That would have been a tough game to win. I don't, you know, this team's resilient, so I can't sit here and tell you they wouldn't have been able to do it, but boy, I wouldn't have been feeling good. That's for sure. I know everyone else in Philly would have been freaking out, jumping off the Ben Franklin.
yeah. Seriously, because we lost the 3-1 to them before. Was that them or the Devils a couple years ago?
Devils.
Yeah.
Eric Lindros, Scott Stevens.
Ugh.
Yeah,
but up 3-1, it's like, okay, we got this, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, so we ended up we came out with a great performance. And that just – I was a little nervous before game 6 and game 5 and 6 because it was like we hadn't really played a really good – actually a playoff game.
Right.
We played, you know, pond hockey for 5 games and won 8-3 and things like this. And but then they showed they could play that defensive type
of
game.
A full 60 minutes of, both sides.
And won 5-1 to finish the series off. Claude Giroux. Really, the opening shift in Game
Set
6.
The tone,
we gotta talk about it. That was one for the ages. I really thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming out and 5 seconds into the game, just absolutely demolishing Sidney Crosby. Who better?
Yeah.
And then that perfect shot that just nicked off the inside of the left post to score 31 seconds into the game.
Yep.
I mean, just and then you know, let's go, follow me, and
yep.
and that's really what he did.
Put a team on your back.
He did it. And, you know, Not to say he was the only one playing well, but he was on it. He's playing on another level from everybody else in the league. Yep. And I said it. He's the best player in the NHL because you know what? Crosby and Malkin, he just completely outclassed them. And if not them, then who? And
yeah, it's got 14 points right in that 6-game series. It's tied for second most in Flyers history.
Absolutely. And you know, that's
– Or no, the only alone in second place in the Flyers history.
Alone in second place, correct. Tim Kerr got 15 points in a series once. Mm-hmm. But that was different league in the 80s, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
15 points now is like 21 points back then.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah. Much more free-feeling.
That was a Gretzkian performance, I thought.
Yeah.
Considering the day and age we are in the NHL and how hard it is to put points on the board, to put score more than 2 points per game, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Giroux really stepped up into that next group of, you know, definitely whether you agree with me that he's the best player in the NHL, pretty much everybody agrees that he's one of the best. And he's in that
top three
echelon, you know, with Malkin and Crosby and maybe the kid from Tampa Bay or maybe, you know, I don't know that Alexander Ovechkin, Stamkos, I don't know that Ovechkin is really looked at. But you know the difference between him? He plays the top penalty-killing line. None of those other players do that. Crosby and Malkin don't kill penalties. That's true. Plays every situation. You want him on the ice if you're a goal down, if you're a goal up. I mean, Ovechkin, his coach won't put him in the game when they're up a goal at the end of the game, you know, because he's a liability. Giroux is one of your best defensive players.
That's true.
He's like Kobe Bryant in that way where he's just going to do everything. Michael Jordan. I'm not going to really sit here and say he's like Michael Jordan, but it's well-rounded at great at offense and defense. It's
exactly,
only half
a
game if you just score 50 goals.
Yep.
But, you know, if you're allowing 40, how good is that really?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah, if your plus-minus is negligible because, you're always letting
Right. So he is in every situation playing against the other team's best line, and it's just impressive, and I'm glad he's on our side. That's about it. So the first round couldn't have gone any better, beating the hated Pittsburgh Penguins on the road, getting to rest up and waiting to kind of see who would emerge out of the East. There was every other series in the East went 7 games, which can only help us down the road.
The things that really gave you confidence too was one, the power play, because you know that the team is confident that they every time they get on the power play they can score because how effective they were then. Also, game five when they played when Brizgalas only allowed one goal for one, and then for two, just the defense was amazing. They blocked so many shots.
Yep.
And if you can, you know, limit the amount of shots that your goalie sees, that's obviously going to work out better for you. You know, and if he's not actually having to make 40 saves and deal with rebounds and all that stuff, and you're getting 20, 30, 40 plus blocks, that's going to work out great for you. You know, it's going to keep
absolutely.
Your goalie's going to feel confident in himself too. He's making those routine saves.
And he's not the only one playing defense. You know what I mean? Like everybody's willing to sacrifice the body. You know, everybody's doing whatever it takes to win.
Yep.
It's a great team effort right now that the Flyers are coming out with.
They looked really good in 5-on-5 in game 6 too, whereas other parts in that series, they didn't look good in 5-on-5. They only looked good with a man advantage. But they looked really good in 5-on-5 in that game and showed you similar, going to the Devil series, which we can talk about now.
Well, one more thing about the 5-on-5. You know, that's no shame either. You know, let's be honest. Pittsburgh was favored, and for good reason.
True.
That is a really good hockey team.
Yep.
So you weren't going to just completely blow them out. The sweep, you know, I'm honestly, you know, we had enough time off, so I'm fine with that. That's a good team, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like the 3-0 lead and everything else, that was just a great performance. So the fact that they outplayed us for some stretches 5-on-5, you know, that's what's going to happen when you have that good of players on the other side.
I expect a little of that, yep.
Yeah, so, but, you know, it was concerning, and Game 6 definitely made, I think, a lot of people feel better that, you know, okay, the Flyers can play a playoff-style game that you know they're going to have to play a bunch of those types of games to get where they need to go. So, and yeah, so now we got the Devils. Game 1, it was the whole rest versus rust question.
Yep.
And I said during the week, you know, and I literally said this, you know, it's not even a question. Everybody would rather have rest because it's a 2-month grind. It's the hardest thing to do to win the Stanley Cup in sports. You have to play so well to win one playoff hockey game. Everyone on your team has to leave everything they have on the ice. It is so, and to do it 16 times, that is really hard. I said, there's no question you take the rest because the rust will matter for about a period, and the rest will help you for the next month and a half.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what happened. The Flyers came out skating in molasses for the first period of game one against Jersey. But Bruce Galoff, credit to him, really, you know, he's been a very bipolar goalie this year.
Yeah, he's streaky.
And even against Pittsburgh, he was really good a couple games, really good at certain points of a couple games. Then he gave up a weak soft
Exactly, goal. Yeah. For, like, a period or something like that, he'd be looked great. And then, he, you know, it would be
right.
a soft
or,
goal again.
Like, in the first period of game one, wasn't that great. It wasn't horrible either, but against Pittsburgh. You know, it was 3-0, but then he shut the door, you know, let them have a chance to come back. You know?
Exactly,
so,
yep.
So, but he kept them in the game, no question. Only down 1-0, you think, okay, this is great. You know, the Devils get the first 11 shots of the game, and then the Flyers just absolutely flipped a switch.
Yep.
And to me, showed that Devils don't belong on the ice with them right now. Devils only have one or two less, well, I think one less point than the Flyers in the regular season, but that doesn't matter because they're not built for the playoffs the way the Flyers are. There's two different kinds of teams. One that wins in the regular season, one that wins in the playoffs. And it's a different you can do both, but the reason you see so many one seeds lose in hockey happens almost every year, a one seed losing in the first round, and it's because all you need is a hot goalie and defense to win in the playoffs. If you have that, LA is the perfect example, the LA Kings.
Yep.
They couldn't score all year, but, man, they were great defensively, had a great goalie. They snuck in as the eighth seed, and now they're killing everybody. They beat the team with the most points in the league in five, easily, Vancouver. And now they're on their way to being up 2-0, winning two games in St. Louis, another very good team.
Really
Anytime
good team. Yep.
You can win a division with the Detroit Red Wings in it, you know you're a good stinking hockey team. So that just goes to show you that it takes different. It's a different kind of team that wins the playoffs necessarily. The regular season is just whoever has the most talent eventually is going to win.
Yep.
But whoever's the best playoff team is going to win in the playoffs. It's a different.
If it's a
story.
Shortened season, you got a 7-game season, and you got to win 4 games. Yep.
It's a different type of team that's good. You can have. You know, teams are awesome every year in the regular season, and they stink every year in the playoffs. And you can have a team that's in the regular season and is awesome in the playoffs. You can have one that's both either way, too. But, you know, playoff success is very – it takes a very specific type of team. And that's why you see these types of things, eight seeds winning, seven seeds winning.
For those people out there who don't really watch hockey like that, do yourself a favor and watch a regular season game and then watch a playoff game. In no other sport is the intensity turned up that much. Now, NBA, you can definitely tell a difference. NFL, you can tell a difference, too. But hockey is
But it's
unlike,
not as big of a difference.
Exactly. It's unlike any other where you see every shift guys are bringing it. They are skating their hearts out. They're banging bodies. Dudes are getting crushed with checks. You know, they're leaving it all out on the ice, and it can definitely be different between that and just the other sports that you catch. Especially, I mean, football, you got to go hard every week because it's a short season.
Right.
Basketball, you can definitely tell in the NBA where players kind of taking plays off and taking nights off.
A quarter here or there, turn
exactly.
the fourth. Yep.
Precisely. But in hockey, that can't happen. That happens, and you allow a goal, and you know what I mean.
It's, yeah. Oh, you're an asshole. You'll be gone if that's the way you're playing. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, but anyway, the Flyers, I believe, outshot Jersey after the first 10 minutes of the game, where it was 11-0 in shots on goal. They ended up 36-26. So they outshot them 36-15 for the rest of the game, including overtime. Just dominated the play. Quickly in the second period, took a 2-1 lead. Beautiful pass by Voracek to Mr. Playoff, Brière.
Danny Brière, a great pass.
And it's like, Brière to me is a different category as Giroux, because Giroux just dominates. You see him, he's got the puck, he's making great plays all over the ice. Brière, you won't really notice all game. And then he'll have the puck on his stick for about 2 seconds, but he'll have 2 goals and an assist. It's just like... He doesn't do anything except score. You don't notice him at all on the ice unless he's scoring a goal. But he just never, ever misses. He never misses.
Yeah.
Giroux will have 8 shots on goal. And, you know what I mean? And he'll score 2 or 3
And he'll be
goals.
All over the ice, yeah.
Right. Briere will have 2 shots on goal, and he'll score 2 goals. he doesn't dominate the game. He's just so clutch.
Yeah.
There was a in Game 5 against Pittsburgh, he wasn't able to lift the puck late. We were kind of pushing in the third period to tie the game. We were down a goal, and he shot it into the pad, and he had another shot, and he couldn't quite lift it. And I'd never seen that before. I was shocked. Like, Briere missed one?
Yeah, I saw that. I remember.
Like, he always roofs it. He never does that. Yeah, that's just not him, though. And that's the one time I've ever seen it. He always roofs it right under the crossbar. He doesn't miss. You give him a sliver of a crease, and he makes you pay every time. He scores big goals. He scores clutch goals. But he doesn't dominate the game. He just so clutch. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, and if
never
you catch him on a breakaway, like goalies have got to know.
He's going to bury it. He's going to bury it. In the playoffs, he will bury it. That's the bottom line. Every time, just about. They both have 7 goals in 7 games. Now, Drew's been a much more dominating player. Again, Briere might have the puck on his stick for 3 seconds of the game and still end up with 3 goals. He just never misses. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable the way Briere steps up his game in the playoffs.
It is nice to see, too. On top of that, the Flyers were fortunate. JVR is another piece who hasn't played like hardly at all toward the end
of
the season.
It's been like 30-40 games you didn't
he's
play.
He's injured, exactly. And those he came back in Game 5 against Pittsburgh, and he was shaking the rust off.
Yeah.
And
they kind of were working him into the lineup, too.
Exactly, yeah. A little bit here and there and here and there. But, yeah, and he was a huge factor in Game 1 versus the Devils. He had a couple of opportunities. He had one breakaway where he should have buried it. But at the end of the game, he was, you know, the one that screened.
He made that play because he came in on the short side of Brodeur and then kept control of the puck behind the net and then went in front of Brodeur. So he totally got us that goal. He was the best player on the ice, which is weird when somebody scored 2 goals, including one in overtime, and you've also got Claude Giroux. But JVR looked like the JVR from last year
in the playoffs. Yep. Precisely.
We just got a lot of players that step up in the playoffs. You know, for the past 5 years, I've been complaining at Flyers fans because they always say, oh, Briere makes too much money. He's not that great. And it's like, yeah, he's not that great in the regular season, but would you rather have Jeff Carter, who scores 40 goals every year and then disappears in the playoffs?
Nothing in
or
the playoffs.
Would you rather have someone that scores 20 goals and is complete money in the playoffs? That's where you want to put $8 million towards. That's exactly who you want. You know, JVR might not have been great in the regular season. I don't care because if he plays like he did yesterday, he's earning every nickel of that paycheck.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
I don't care what you do in the regular season. The Flyers have plenty of players that are going to make the playoffs. If it's what you do in the playoffs that I care about, and enough of this. You know, hockey, I don't follow. You know, I watch the games, but I used to watch every one and go up, you know, live and die with every game. It's just the regular season, it doesn't matter. You know, eventually I realized, you know, I'm not going to get up and down. If they go on a 3 or 5 game losing streak, whatever, it doesn't matter. All that matters is it doesn't even matter the last few games before the playoffs. It matters what you are doing when the playoffs start. That is it. Nothing else matters at all. Like I said, we just sat there and talked about how 8 seeds win all the time.
The regular season,
all that matters is you make the playoffs. That is it. Yeah, you'd rather have home ice, sure, but that's just such a small, it's like a 51-49.
Yeah, home ice isn't really, it's way less of an advantage than it is in basketball or any other,
sport.
Right.
Yeah, and it's weird because they actually have an advantage of the last line change, so you'd think it would be, but it doesn't end up playing out that way.
Mm-hmm.
At home, if for those that don't know, the visiting coach has to put his players on the ice first. So the home coach can say, okay, I see who he put out. I'm going to put these, and these players out to match up with them. So you have actually an advantage being at home, bigger than the other sports, but – the road team wins all the time in the NHL, so it ends up not even mattering somehow. So, you know, I don't know why that is, but, yeah, it's nice to have home ice in Game 7, but it's just a small deal. The regular season, I love the Flyers. I still watch it, but I don't really care if they're going through a bad streak. I don't go up and down when the team does. I stay on an even keel and realize it only matters what happens in the playoffs. I'm not going to bury a player like Danny Briere for having a bad regular season because I know he's going to score 7 goals in 7 games in the playoffs.
Yep, you know he's going to be on his game when it counts.
Yep.
So Flyers beat the Devils, you think. So do I. How many games do you think it takes to dispatch them?
5. I really do. I think they're going to win. It might be 4. The Devils don't belong on the ice. Like, that was their chance. The Flyers were looked pretty bad early in that game. That was a chance to steal one. The fact that they actually lost that game, I really do not see how they're going to beat us. We're going to be going on game two. They're not going to get that first period where they get the first 11 shots on goal. They're going to get the team that outshot them 36-15 for the rest of the way. That's what's going to happen. And I would be shocked if they won more than one game. I think this is an easy series, and we'll be waiting to see who wins between New York and Washington.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that, no more than five. I'll probably agree right on the money with you. I don't think the Devils got a chance to win two. I really don't. That was their shot to kind of take the wind out of our sails.
If they didn't win that game and we dominated them that much, see, the thing is, they're going to be tired, and we're not. And that's going to, right now, game two, watch how we come out. And the fact that they've played three overtime games in a row and had no time off pretty much between series, and we had a week, that's going to show. That's why. And we're better than them straight up, too. So I just really would be shocked if they actually made this a competitive series. I really don't see it.
Yeah. And you got to figure the Flyers are hungry, man. The Flyers have tased. They were on the brink, Actually, for those of you guys that haven't read the blog yet, we'll just mention it real quick before we take a break. The difference between this team and a lot of other teams you see in hockey in general is, and previous Flyers teams, is when a soft goal goes in or when they get down, you don't see a change in the team whatsoever. They're completely focused on the goal. They realize, we can come back from this deficit. We can stop them from scoring anymore. It's just time to turn it on and get focused and get our heads in the game. And Laviolette is a great motivator. He knows exactly how to motivate his team.
Timeouts.
Exactly. He has a great mix of veteran leadership and young, hungry players that kind of want to prove themselves too. So I definitely think that
even yesterday you saw it against the Devils where that last goal that Jersey scored to tie it up with 8 minutes to go, you can't let that in, really. It was a turnover in the offense at the blue line, which is a cardinal sin, and then the Devils transitioned. How many times have we seen that? A turnover, the Devils make you pay in a transition. That's right. Just the Devils' bread and butter.
It's their game,
But still, it wasn't. I'm not going to sit there and say it's 100% goalie's fault because the guy was kind of a little bit of on a breakaway. You got to stop that, though. You got to stop that with 8 minutes to go.
It was a shot itself. It was just a five hole. You got to close the five hole.
Right. You got to close the five hole. Exactly. If he picks the corner on you, you tip your cap and move on.
Yeah, exactly.
In that case, but you know what? Normally, you see the shoulders sag. The air leaves the building. Not this team. They don't care. They do not care if the goalie gives up eight soft goals. They will score nine. They are going to beat you. They do not want – before the Flyers would always – The players would think it. This is, well, what are we supposed to do? The goalie gives up all these gives up all these goals. That was their excuse. And they never said it out loud, but that's what they were thinking. This team doesn't want an excuse. They're just going to win. That's all they do. And that's why this team is different. And that's why I think this year could be special.
Yep, could be. Well, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more hockey later because we hope that the Caps can hold off the Rangers. I don't know if the Flyers have a mental block against them or what, but we'll come back and we'll touch on that. But let's take a break. We'll come back with what's making Murdoch mad, and then we'll talk the Eagles draft and get on with the show. That sound all right to you, sir?
Absolutely.
All right, you guys stay tuned. This is Upon Official Review.
Last word of Philly sport.
That is us.
Heart now.
Philadelphia Flyers, Broad Street Bully, hitman for hire. Traded from Nashville, true grit and mad skill. I hit so hard I should be handing out Advil. My checks are bone crushing. You wanna know something? I started off on the fourth line, stage bumping. And then I got promoted, Lavi got me going. On the line with G and Yacht, now with Tic Tac Toeing. Ladies love the locks, I got the crazy waves. Played in the All Star game, thank you, Jonathan Tate. I told Pulip to suck it, because he's overrated. Knock, knock, Mac Miller, yeah, we overplay it. Score a goal, drop the gloves, cause I like to fight. Orange and black, down and dirty, yeah, I like to light the lamp. Don't believe
believe me, ask Chris. He'll tell you my heart is.
You man is big. Heart nailed down. 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 Heart nailed down.
What's up, gang? It is the Upon Official Review Podcast back in action. Thanks for sticking around. We are going to talk some Eagles draft. We love our birds, just as I'm sure you do. But first, it's time for my favorite segment, your mom's favorite segment, your dog's favorite segment. It is time for What's Making Murdoch.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Okay, Murdoch, this week, everybody would like to know, what in the world is making Murdoch mad this week?
This week, Jeff Carter is making me mad, believe it or not. The big trades last offseason were Carter and Richards going out of town, and I could not have been happier. Did I love Richards? Absolutely. I don't wish him any ill will. The problem, to me, the only reason we actually had to get rid of Richards was because they made him the captain a little early. You can't really demote the captain. That would have been kind of a problem. But those guys, but Richards too, those guys were known more for their partying than anything else. And you know, it's like Carter, boy, he would score you 40 goals every year in the regular season, and he'd sleep with, you know, 75, 18-year-old co-eds and get drunk every night. But when the playoffs came around, he did nothing. You know, the Kings are won the first round in five. They're up 2-0 in the second, and he has nothing. Two assists. I don't know if he got anything tonight.
He
but
got
you know
a goal
what?
Tonight.
I had to make finally. A guess. He finally got a goal. Okay, so he finally got a goal tonight. He shows does not show up in the playoffs. I don't respect that. You know what? As much as I partied when I was his age, I was making $15 an hour. Okay? I was not making millions. If you're going to get paid with all those extra zeros in your paycheck, you're getting paid like a man, you better act like a man. Chill on the partying. There's plenty of time in the offseason. And actually, you know, work hard and show up when you are needed in the playoffs. You know, I'll never forgive Carter for shooting the puck when the against Chicago in Game 6 with about a minute to go before overtime. The goalie's on his stomach, and he shot it right into him in a wide open net. All he had to do was lift it an inch, and that piece of shit was probably hungover. And instead, he shoots it right into him, and we lose Game 6 in overtime. And, you know, we could have won a freaking cup if it wasn't for that piece of garbage. He's a piece of trash. He's not worth a nickel. The team that traded for him, we got a sucker deal. We got the pick that ended up being Sean Couturier, who actually got a hat trick in his second ever playoff game and an assist, and was more productive. And we also got Voracek, who've both been more productive in the first two games of their playoffs with the Flyers than Carter had been in like 5 years in the playoffs. He stinks, and I am so glad he's off the team. Players like that, I do not respect at all. They're good when there's no pressure on, and they just shrivel up like a turtle in the clutch. He's the opposite of Briere. He's great when it doesn't count and sucks when it does count. I am so glad, Carter, you're in L.A. Have fun. You know, millionaire athlete. Wow, it's really must be really hard to pick up, like, college girls. Like, that's so impressive, you know. You know, if like I said before, if you're going to get paid like a man, you better act like a man. And I don't care what I was doing when I was 18. No, but I was, you know, I was, like I said, $15 an hour. Nobody was relying on me to actually care about what I was doing. And to me, all he wants to do is party. Richards, at least he produced, but same deal. Those guys, the culture in the clubhouse needed to be changed. Homer should be hands down executive of the year. I can't believe he's not even a finalist for it.
That is surprising.
GM of the year in the NHL. He did what we needed to do, and look how good this team is. Without, you know, Giroux's their most irreplaceable player, but Pronger's the next one by, and it's close. He might be just as irreplaceable as Giroux.
Yeah, it's true.
There's not anyone else. Char is the only other player like that in hockey. That's that big, huge, punishing defenseman. That's so invaluable to have a player like that in the playoffs. I mean, we would be twice as good if we had Pronger. To be this good without him is just a credit to Holmgren and Laviolette. Those guys, man, they're like the anti-Eagles. They're just awesome. They do what they need to do. I love the Flyers management. I love the coach. I love Laviolette. I love their general manager. They're by far, to me, the best front office in the city, and it's not even close.
It's true.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So kudos to them, and screw you, Jeff Carter.
I like it. Real quick on them, one of the things that I love, you got to say about the Flyers front office is that they care. They love their team so much.
Oh, yeah.
And Snyder. They want to win every year. They want to put a winner on the ice, and they'll
do whatever it takes.
Yeah, they'll do whatever it takes. Yeah, they have that kind of mentality, and that's just foreign to a lot of the other kind of front offices. You know, for the Phillies, it was for years. And now they kind of have a front office willing to spend money, but they still make bonehead moves.
Right. And a part of it, too, is they're looking for their next TV deal. So they want to keep the sellout streak alive and the TV rating up TV ratings up as high as possible, because that's going to get them an extra $1 billion in the TV deal.
Right.
So there's a reason why they're spending all this money. A part of it is because they're going to make a lot of money in about 2 years when they, because the Dodgers just signed a huge deal, or they're about to.
Yeah.
And the Phillies have better ratings on TV, the best ratings of any team in baseball, including the Yankees.
Wow.
And
seriously?
Best attendance of any team in baseball. Yeah. Of any team in baseball. Number one in both attendance TV ratings. Yep.
That's impressive.
That is impressive.
That says a lot about the fans in this town.
Yep. Because we were so starved for a winner, we finally got one, and we love them.
Yep.
And we'll support them forever. Absolutely. I know that's the way I feel.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. Well, let's talk birds, sir. The Eagles just finished the draft over the weekend. NFL has that long 3-day,
right,
4-day draft, but they broke it up over all these days now. But Eagles had a killer draft.
I thought so too.
It wasn't just the fans that said that either. Like almost every kind of draft pundit.
Yeah, Todd McShay. He said he gave us number one of all the teams.
Yep, I've seen several. You know, of the talking heads just give the Eagles A's and A pluses.
Yep.
I think one website I read online said they were B. But even that was the best, you know, in the the NFC, or the best in the NFC East at least.
The
Eagles were able to get some really blue chip guys, some really solid college players.
Yep.
Great, and they drafted for need. They got
It was like they got
needed.
The best player on the board, which happened to be our biggest need.
Yep.
So it was like perfect. It wasn't like, well, we got the best linebacker on the board. It was like, no, we got the best player there. Or we got the best tackle on which was by far the best player. Everyone said Fletcher Cox was like top 7 pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we got him at number 12.
Number 12.
We give him a 4th round pick, which we got right back when we traded down the 2nd round. I loved it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even mind them trading from 51 to 59, because there was like 8 or 10 players that were all about as good right there. And they ended up getting another end, and that's fine. You can't have enough defensive ends.
No, you can't.
They got another linebacker with the first pick in the 2nd round, which I loved. I said they better not just say, okay, we got D'Amico Ryans, we're good on linebackers. We were so bad last year, we needed two good linebackers. Now we have a good linebacker.
Yeah,
linebacking core, and I am just when they screamed, when they picked that linebacker, I was so happy, because then I said, I don't care what they do for the rest of this draft. I don't care. This draft is just what we needed. Our team is going to be ready to go the season game.
Yeah,
one.
It looked like they finally learned their lesson. It looks like Roseman
figured
out what he's doing.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, wow. We really don't have – we only have one starting cornerback. That's not a good idea. And then, of course, that came back to bite us in the ass. Last year, it was like, wow, we don't have even one starting linebacker. That's not a good idea. Now, our best linebacker from last year is fine to be our third best linebacker. That's a different big difference. You know what
I mean?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Your best linebacker as your third best linebacker now, then he's actually a good third best linebacker. He's a terrible first best linebacker, but he's a fine third best linebacker.
Right.
So I am thrilled. I've never been this happy ever in my entire life after an Eagles draft. I think they hit it out of the park. They finally, you know, it pisses me off, kind of. I will say that it took them this long. It's like, you know, God, if Reed wasn't such a stubborn dick, you know, we would have had Super Bowls by now, at least one.
Right.
But he just always takes too long to figure out something that we all knew 5 years ago. But, like, at least he eventually gets it. I will give him credit for that. And I think they absolutely did great. And the fact that they had a good draft going forward makes me feel a lot better if they did keep Reed, even if we don't win this year, that, you know, maybe he'll actually get what we need, realize his mistakes in the past and not repeat them. Yep. You know, after 15 years, he finally learned his lesson, I guess. That's not exactly high praise, but as long as he's learned his lesson from now on, I can live with it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Here's real quick, for those who don't know the names or et cetera, I'm gonna list the draft picks that we had. First round, the Eagles got Fletcher Cox at number 12. They traded up from 15. And Fletcher Cox was seen to go in the top 10 in almost every single mock draft. Some of them had him going in like top 7, right. Top 8.
A lot of them had him as the number one defensive player. Certainly everyone had him as the number one or number two behind Maurice Claiborne, who the Cowboys got at number 7.
Right, exactly.
Number two defensive player in the entire draft. So,
yeah, defensive tackle, Mississippi State, 6'4", 298. Playmaker.
Undersized, too. Can we give a shout out for the fact actually regularly sized?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so happy that he's regularly sized. He doesn't have a high motor. He just has a normal size.
Exactly,
yeah. Give me a normal motor. I don't want a high motor. I want a regular motor, and I want a regular size. I want a sized person, not an undersized. Thank God.
Yeah. So Fletcher Cox is, yeah, he's big. He moves the line. He can. In college, he's dealing with double teams. He's not going to deal with that here because our defensive line is that good. So he's gonna make plays. I think that's a solid draft pick. Second round, they got Michael Kendricks, who spells his name with a Y. I know everybody's gonna misspell it. He was actually the Pac-10 Defensive Player of the Year, linebacker out of California. He's only 5'11". He's a little small, but he's extremely fast, and he's a huge playmaker. One of the actual – I can't remember off the top of my head which one it is, but one of the draft, you know, heads said that he was the they used the adjective bloodthirsty, and they said he was the second best attacking linebacker in the draft outside of Luke Kuechly.
The other guy that went in the first round, too, was a pretty – bloodthirsty type of guy, but they said he was right there with him. But was it exactly. Burflicht or something? Something.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. The guy that the Ravens picked up.
Yeah, or somebody got him. Yeah,
I think the Ravens got him.
But yeah, but I like that pick a lot. Like I said, that was when I said, okay, the Eagles did it. They got
extremely fast, and he knows how to tackle, and he doesn't get knocked over. He knocks people back.
Yes.
Yeah, when he makes tackles.
Yep. Yeah, people said that he was, either the second or third best linebacker in the draft, and definitely the best player on the board when they chose him.
Yep,
and I loved it.
And you think about when, as far as drafting linebackers too, you had to get a line. To me, you had to get a linebacker that was fast, because guess who's going to be chasing around for the next 10 years? Robert Griffin III, who's the fastest quarterback in the NFL right
absolutely.
Now. So
absolutely, yeah. Is he faster than Vic?
Right now, he is. Yeah, he's not faster than Vic coming out of college.
Right,
you know, but he's faster than him now. Absolutely,
yeah. But he used to be a close. Is it close? You think at least can Vic
it's
at least
probably close?
Or would he completely? I mean, because Vic's still one of the fastest players in the NFL.
Oh yeah, Vic probably runs a high four.
What about Robert Griffin or
RG3 runs a 4.3 something. He's got wideout speed.
Deshaun Jackson's faster than him, though, right?
Probably, yeah. In a straight foot race, Deshaun could probably take him. But yeah,
Vic had a 4.1, didn't he? When he was doing the combine,
I think he ran like a 4.24 or 4.26.
Okay, so he might be still pretty close to Robert Griffin.
Might be.
I don't know. He's still pretty quick.
Yeah, he's still pretty quick. He still outruns people all the time. Yeah. Really solid pickup with the linebacker. Then in the second round pick they had, they get Vinnie Curry, who's a defensive end out of Marshall. 6'3", yep. 266, had 77 tackles from a defensive end position. That's a lot.
Wow, that is a lot. Wow.
It's exactly. And 11 sacks. And the kid, he's an Eagles fan. So apparently when they
I love that.
Sure
too.
About that? When they called
him, they said he wouldn't allow cameras in his house because he was going to have his Eagles stuff up for one last day. And I'm like, oh my God, I love this guy. How awesome is that?
Yeah, that's
like,
really
seriously,
cool.
Seriously, he was gonna, like, well, I was going to have to not, you know, this was my last day as an Eagles fan, but you know what? I wasn't taking it down until I got my last day in. I was like, how cool is that?
Really awesome.
Like, that's totally awesome. He wouldn't allow the cameras in his house because he wasn't taking his Eagles stuff down.
I love
and
it.
You know what? We should have a guy like that. Why not? So I like that pick. We traded down from 51 to 59 to get him. Picked up, like, pretty much we got back what we traded up. What we traded to trade up in the first round to what we traded from 15 to 12. We pretty much got back a pretty similar value for moving down eight spots. And we still got, you know, a guy I'm pretty happy with him taking. Because if you think about this now, right, we've got our starters, Trent Cole and Jason Babin, who are obviously both studs. Though don't ask Babin to play against the run, but I digress. And Cole always wears down, right? We all know it. Last four games in the playoffs, he's always done because they run him into the ground. But now, hopefully, you know, Brandon Graham should be completely recovered from his surgery. And with this other kid, the second-round pick, Vinnie Curry, maybe we've got, you know, four good defensive ends that we can throw out there and keep Cole and Babin fresh for the end when we actually need them more in the playoffs. So I like it a lot. To me, it gives us a lot more depth. You know, we can withstand injuries better. Our defensive line, you look at those top seven, you know, those four defensive ends, plus we got Cullen Jenkins, who's the other tackle?
Patterson.
Mike Patterson and Fletcher Cox. I mean, that is a great top seven for your defensive line.
It really is.
It's a lot of defensive linemen there that can be in that rotation. I love
make plays. Yeah, yeah. Real quick on defensive line freshness, the Giants kind of gave everybody a blueprint on what you need to do against this kind of new style offense, which is predicated on passes. You have to have a defensive line that can get to the quarterback consistently, because people said, you know, how are the Giants going to be able to keep Brady and these high powered offenses from getting on the board? And the answer is just make him uncomfortable in the pocket. And you can't do that if your linemen are just tired and, you know what I mean, you can only rotate in, you know, one or two guys. But if you can rotate three, four guys where they're fresh and they're hitting those linemen, your quarterback's going to be under duress all day. And that really limits what your offense can do. So that's real quick on that. The next pick that Eagles got was Nick Foles, the quarterback from Arizona, who set all kinds of school records. Broke Drew Brees' records in high school, like prototype kind of NFL guy. So he might be something to look at.
I love his size.
6'5", 240.
Yep.
Just kind of – he might have more tools than any of the other Eagles backups, or really any more raw tools than Andy Reid draft has ever had, maybe. So that might be a real nice draft pick.
Yeah,
there.
It could be our next Kevin Cobb, where we could turn him into a second round
pick.
Turn him into a couple of high picks.
Yeah, who
down the road. Yeah, so yeah, I like it because, you know, Trent Edwards, whatever. And who's the other guy? You know, I'm ready to be done with him.
The third string, the kid from Northwestern. He has no arm strength at all.
Nothing. He stinks. I'm ready for. Let's have Foles and Trent Edwards and Vic as our three quarterbacks this year. I can't think of his name. I don't know why, but let's get he's done.
Yeah, yeah. He has no arm strength.
Yeah, he's got no future. And yeah, get rid of him. So
fourth round, Eagles got Brandon Boykin, who I guess he had some injury issues. Something made him drop in the draft because he's actually a really solid cornerback. Yeah. He may be able to step in from day one and take Azealia Hanson's spot. And I've had enough.
But Hanson, he's a good slot corner, though, Hanson. He was the better slot corner than the other guys we had last year.
That's definitely true. That's definitely
because those other guys are outside. They're not – it's not the same putting them in the slot. But it would be nice if he could come in and upgrade, sure. But I don't mind Hanson as your third guy.
Yeah. Okay. Fifth round, these guys.
You know what I want to say really quick? I love it when players slide for some reason, like they smoke pot or whatever, because you can get hit home runs. I'll never forget Randy Moss was the, 18th pick or the 23rd pick or something like that?
Way
because
too
of pot? He would have been a top 2-3 pick. Should have been.
Top five. And, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely top five. And he went 18 to Minnesota because he smoked pot. And it's just like, you know, sometimes those guys, you know, Lawrence –
Phillips, you know, they don't pan out. But, boy, if they do, you end up getting yourself a steal. So.
Yep, absolutely.
Let's hope. Let's hope. Let's hope.
Yep.
You can always cross free. And fourth round, it's not like you, you know, might as well take a shot on somebody that dropped. But that's high upside, you know, might have also high or low downside or whatever you want to call
it.
The
Eagles actually did get one of those guys late. They actually got an undrafted guy out of Oregon who got suspended for the last five games of the season for getting pulled over driving 118 miles an hour. And when the cops asked him where the weed was, he said, "We smoked it all." Did you hear about this?
I did not hear about that. Yeah. No, that's funny.
It's a great story, right? Fifth, they had two sixth-round picks and a seventh-round pick. These guys you probably won't have to remember. Kelly, Marvin McNutt, Brandon Washington, an offensive tackle, Dennis Kelly, Marvin McNutt, wide receiver out of Iowa. Got deep with size. Yeah, 6'3", 216. Dennis Kelly is essentially the white King Dunlap, 6'8", 321. Brandon Washington, who's a guard from Florida, or guard from Miami. You know, guys that are kind of from Miami, usually, you know, why not take a stab at those? You know, they play the big programs. And then Bryce Brown, the seventh round running back out of Kansas State. And so far as real quick, some undrafted free agents, they did get a punter. Chaz Henry wasn't anything special, so it'd be nice to see if maybe we can get a better punter. Also, they took the running back out of Washington, Chris Polk, who had a bunch of injury issues. The Eagles like to do this too. They bring in guys that just had problems with injuries, thinking maybe if they recover.
Yeah, because
he was
not?
Actually the 71st ranked player in the draft. Like, he should have been. And most players, you know, in the mock drafts, they had him going in like the second or third round. Nobody
really?
Picked him up because they said the injury concerns were just too much. He missed like one and a half seasons. One with a shoulder injury and one with knee or something
it's
like that.
Why not like use a seventh round somebody?
Yeah,
would
so no, nobody picked
for
him.
The 71st.
So he'll be in camp, and he, you know, if he's, if
I
he's
guess
able
he was
to be
the number
healthy,
one undrafted
he'd be a nice backup for LeSean. So
yeah, hopefully it would be nice to get somebody in there.
Yeah, we'll see.
What's his, like, you know what kind of size he has?
I don't.
It'd be nice if he was big.
Yeah,
big boy. Get, you know,
mm-hmm.
short yardage.
They did get a full. I think they took the fullback from Stanford. Who's can catch passes, I know, because Andrew Luck loves to throw to the fullback. So he might,
yeah,
might be something, too. They also got the tight end from Miami, who's 6'7", 255.
Chase Ford.
Yeah, who's, you know, kind of those big – they like to run two –
Yeah,
like to
sometimes
run
the Eagles hit backs. On the undrafted. I think they're one of the better teams, them and the Patriots, probably, at getting the undrafted rookies. They end up getting good ones sometimes. So,
but yeah, that's the Birds draft. We're very happy with it.
A+. I think we both agree on that. Yep. Best draft. Like I said, I'm happier now than I ever have been after an Eagles draft by far. It's not even close.
Yep.
So I think great job. I got it. You know, we dog Reed when he pisses us off, but you know, I'm a fair guy. I'll give him credit when it's due, and he's due some credit right now. Him and Roseman. I will give Roseman credit. He said, "I made mistakes in the past reaching for players because I really liked them and picking them too early."
Really? He actually admitted that,
He didn't exactly come out that much, but he said, "We don't want to reach this year."
Good.
You know what I mean? Like, pretty much said it, not quite as obvious as I just said it, but that's pretty much what he said. I think the guy they picked, the safety from Temple, Jaquan Jarrett, shouldn't have been a second-round pick, you know, and they weren't going to do that this year. And they did, and good for them. You know, if you make mistakes, okay, because who doesn't, right? Just learn from them. That's kind of, I think, what we ask of people here. Because, you know, everybody makes mistakes. Just don't keep making the same ones over and over. That's all we're really
That's when we're going to dog you.
Yeah. So if you're going to learn from your mistakes and not repeat them, then, you know, I give Roseman all the credit for this draft. Good job by him. I'm glad he's our general manager if you keep doing stuff like this. So,
yep, let's hope that they can put the pieces together and make some out of this team. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk Sixers real quick because we did an NBA podcast. Hopefully you guys have had a chance to listen to that. If not, go download it now. Also, we'll do legal procedure, tweet of the week, and crossfire like we always do. So yeah, I'm ready to get to work. Let's do that, sir. Sound good to you?
Absolutely.
All right, you guys stay tuned. This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word of Philly sports.
That is who we are. You guys don't go anywhere.
Go. Go. Now,
Welcome back, gang. It is the Upon Official Review Podcast, your favorite Philadelphia duo talking sports like we do all the time. Catch us on Twitter, twitter.com/officialreview, facebook.com/officialreview, uponofficialreview.com, which you can check out for all your Philadelphia sports news.
That's a new and improved officialreview.com. We're going to be updating it all the time, so check it every day.
Yeah, definitely. Bookmark that thing. Get the RSS feed for you geeks.
Make it your homepage.
Yeah, exactly. You might as well make that happen. So, real quick, let's talk Sixers. Like I said, if you guys want to hear a kind of extended Sixers talk, go to officialreview.com and check out the other podcasts, or check us out on iTunes. You can search Official Review, or you can follow the different links that we got set up. Real quick, sir, on the Sixers, do you think now that Derrick Rose is done for the season, unfortunately, you know, I love to watch Derrick Rose play. You love to watch Derrick
Rose. Yeah, oh, absolutely. You don't win because of another team losing a superstar. That's
right.
Not.
Yeah, no.
Especially when you have no chance at the title anyway. You know?
Right, precisely. But do you
think... Flyers, you know, I'd be fine with the other team losing their best players.
Yeah. Right. Do you think that with Rose out...
Right.
It may take the wind out of the sails of the Bulls, so to speak, and potentially give the Sixers a chance to come out of the first round and come out of the series with a win.
No, I don't. Yeah, it could take the wind out a little bit, but luckily for them, they're playing the Sixers, who have awful since their 20-9 start, but definitely under 500. They're not that good. The start was they weren't as good as they were in the start. They probably weren't as bad as they were at the end either, but they played a lot of bad teams back then. A lot of had a lot of home games, and they were young, and a lot of teams weren't adjusted to the compressed schedule.
Yep.
So the young legs got them a lot of wins, and the Bulls unfortunately played a ton of games without Rose this year.
Yep.
So they know exactly how to do it. They played really well without him. So no, I don't think they have any chance to win.
They had a .667 winning percentage without Rose.
Right. So to me,
that gives them like the fourth or fifth best record in the NBA anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they will not win more than one game. You know, maybe that gives them one game where they might have been swept before. I guess that's about all I give them. I give them not a snowball's chance in hell of actually winning the series. And it's a shame because I would have loved to see Chicago and Miami battle it out. People can say, oh, the Celtics, Celtics are going to get smoked in the second round. Well, they would have if they had played Chicago with Derrick Rose. And their coach, Chicago's coach, is an idiot. Oh, that's the way he's done it for 2 years. Well, he's been an idiot for 2 years. He's got a 12-point lead with less than a minute to go 47 different times this year. He got hurt 47 out of the 60 games. Are you kidding me? And you got him in a blowout? What? That guy should be fired on the spot. I mean, if I was the owner of the Bulls, that guy would not have a job right now. Because clearly, he's a moron. And don't tell me that's the way I've always done it, so that's a good idea. Anytime anyone says that's the way I've always done it, it's a stupid reason to do anything. It's certainly something that idiotic. So, yeah, that's just ridiculous. And they robbed us of what could have been a classic Miami-Chicago series.
Yeah.
So, yeah, screw that. But the Sixers, no, they stink. Sorry.
All right, well, I just wanted your opinion on that. I feel the same way, unfortunately. Sixers still don't have a shot. I would like to see a fully loaded Bulls team go at it with Miami, but it's like Miami's probably going to coast to the finals.
Yeah, to the finals. That's what I'm thinking. Who's going to mess with them?
Yeah.
Doesn't look like anybody can.
You know what's kind of sad, too? Real quick on the NBA, the Knicks are still horrible. Like, after they changed coaches and they picked up their defensive intensity, but then I watched them for a little bit tonight play the Heat. Their offense did the same exact thing. They cleared out and they just watched Carmelo Anthony try to play 1-on-5, and he's being guarded by LeBron, who's one of the best defenders in the league in the first place. And it's like, really, this is your offense? This is it?
Terrible. Yeah. They need a point guard.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was.
You know, obviously the Knicks will be better with Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, when they get a real point guard.
He's, you know, not... He still needs work on his game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He definitely... He's got a lot of holes in his game.
Too many turnovers.
Yeah, too many turnovers. Yeah. He gets out of control when he drives to the hoop, you know.
Right.
Things like that.
But it'd be better than, you know, who they got now. So, at least he was before he got hurt.
Yeah, the Heat are really good. You know,
the Heat is really good.
LeBron James is going to choke in the finals because he's the most anti-clutch person ever. I've never seen anybody with that much talent suck that bad whenever the pressure mounts. He is never going to be one of the best ever because he just can't handle any pressure at all. It's just really – it's kind of sad because he could have really, you know – nobody's ever going to be Jordan, and he wouldn't have been Jordan. But, boy, he could have been the only Bron ever, that's for sure, because he's just such a unique package. But, you know, at this point, it doesn't even matter if he wins a couple titles. You know, he can't undo what he's done for the past three or four playoffs. You know, when he quit against Boston last year, it's just, you know, to me – his chances of ever being a top 10, that's, you know, top 10 player of all time does not have a resume like that for his first 8 years in the league. It's just, it's too late already. He can be maybe top 20, but he's not going to be, it's unfortunate. He just can't handle the pressure. Two types of people, those who, you know, step up in the clutch and those who freeze, and he freezes, you know, that's just the bottom line. He wants somebody else to make the play. And that's not one of the greatest players.
We should do a list at some point of the most unclutch players of all time.
Right, that had like a lot of talent too. Yeah. There's plenty of people that were stiffs that were unclutch, but
yeah,
to be that good and that unclutch, yeah, that's Jeff Carter would be on the list.
Yep. Yep. Definitely. Tony Romo.
Yep. Definitely. Tony Romo. Absolutely.
There was a tweet that somebody posted that said the Cowboys have asked the NFL. For them not to schedule any games in December.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true too, right?
Yep. Every year they start out and they get to December and they just tank. They just fall apart. Anyways,
all right. Let's go to the illegal procedure of the week, sir. What are you
just thinking about that? Let's get to the illegal procedure.
Well, they called us for illegal procedure. Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've been so wrong.
All right, sir. Illegal procedure this week is a dual award. One was mentioned already. That was Chicago Bulls coach Tom Thibodeau. You are playing the Sixers. You have a minute and 10 left. You have a dinged up MVP. And you've got him still in the game, and you're up 12. No, sit him down. Now, granted, the injury could have happened at any point in the game, yes. But if you don't need to have him out there, the Sixers are not going to start bombing threes on you. Have you watched this team? No, they're not. It's not going to happen. So
that game was
get him out of the game.
And considering the injuries he had all year, that's why.
Exactly.
Any other player, I'm fine with it. But not Derrick Rose, not this year, and he paid for being stupid.
Yep.
And you know what? When you're stupid, you deserve to get burned because you shouldn't be stupid. Come on.
So yeah, he
gets paid millions of dollars to do your job. That's just pathetic. Ugh.
He gets half the award, and then the other half goes to Rajon Rondo, who bumped into a referee on purpose. Forget what he says. He definitely bumped into him on purpose.
Definitely.
Lost his cool in a playoff game, and now he gets suspended. You can't get suspended in a playoff series, man.
He lost the first game already.
Exactly. It's
horrible. That's so selfish.
It's so selfish. You can't lose your cool in a situation like that. No. It's the playoffs. Your team needs you. He's the best player on Boston's team. Like, there's the big three, but they – you know, he's the main all-star on that team. So
yeah, he absolutely is.
You put your team in a bad situation.
He
just really
bumped
stupid.
His chest out, like poked his stomach out to bump the guy. You don't do that when you're tripping.
Yeah, no,
you know,
it was not an accident.
Jutted his stomach out. He like his shoulders went back, his stomach went out, and when he bumped him, it was an absolute bump. He was just being a dick, and it's not like he. You know, got his money's worth. It's not like that hurt the referee. All that did was show.
Yeah. What is the point of that? Yeah. No, it was useless. It was really stupid of him.
Control yourself. Be a grown man and control yourself. Don't have a little temper tantrum like a child. That's all we're asking for here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, dude.
Act like a man.
Act like a man.
God, a grown up. You know.
Yeah. Is that so much to ask? I don't think so.
No.
So those guys both get
to share it. Yeah, I agree. Good call, sir.
Let's go ahead and move right. Get this train moving down the tracks. Let's get into the tweet of the week.
La la la, don't wait till I get my Twitter right. La la la,
All right, gang. Tweet of the week usually is something witty and funny, but this week it is poignant, and it is something I think that speaks to the love and the positivity and the optimism of Philadelphia fans. One of our followers, Megan X Reno, it's Megan MegHanXRino, tweeted during game one. It was when the Flyers were down 3-0. They might have been down 3-1, but it was looking bleak. It was looking like it was 3-1 with what, 10 minutes left or 8 minutes left in that game? In game one, Al, against the Penguins?
It's 3-1 with about 10 minutes to go in the third period, yep.
Yeah, and she tweets, "Call me crazy, but I think the Flyers pull this one out," and with a smiley face. And I was thinking to myself when I saw that tweet, and I was like, I kind of want to retweet this because I feel like that's really like, what if this happens? But I really didn't think it would happen. But
that's awesome. Call me crazy, but that chick is awesome. Yeah. I you know. Good for her.
She called it, man. She.
You know what? I'm going to give her my shout-out right now in the middle of the tweet of the week. You guys should follow her. Anyone that's going to be calling that deserves a follow, I'd say, for any Philly sports fan. So go ahead and follow her.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you guys should do that. So that's good stuff, man. And hopefully we have more crazy predictions and the Flyers make them all come true. It's been a fun ride. And I remember actually back in like back when right after the Pronger injury happened, me and you were like, man, do we have a shot? And we were like, probably not.
No, I thought, you know, that was the one player we couldn't lose.
Yeah.
Was the one that we lost because we're so deep offensively. You know what I mean? That's the thing. As much as Giroux's the greatest player, I still think it hurts us worse than I have Pronger because we have so many other good offensive players. But, boy, you just can't lose that. Oh, man, having him and Mazaris out at the same time, I can't wait to get Andre back. But boy, I would love to have Pronger right now. That would be so great. Such a shame. But yeah, I thought they didn't have any chance to win the playoffs.
Yep.
Cause you know, look at it. We made game six of the finals with Pronger. And then last year he was hurt and we lose. And you know what I mean? This is like with Pronger, only the Blackhawks beat us like, you know, that year. And the years before that, he was making the finals. Every year, team he was on was winning
the cup. Yeah, exactly. That's true.
You know, so, you know, we haven't had him in the playoffs two straight years now. It's just, it's such a shame. I hope he come back and be healthy next year. I really do.
Let's hope so.
If he's healthy in the playoffs next year, we'll win the cup next year, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
If we win this year, we're going back-to-back if we have Pronger. That's all I got to say.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. All right, sir. It's time for Crossfire. So, get ready for...
It's the ultimate challenge, Crossfire.
Crossfire, you'll get caught up in the crossfire. Crossfire, crossfire, crossfire.
You'll get caught up.
All right, sir, I will start it off.
Alrighty.
Number one, how worried about the Phillies are you? Especially their offense. Obviously, the pitching is fine, but how worried, scale 1 to 10, are you about the Phillies offense?
Real quick, I'm going to say... about a 6. Probably not as worried as some people are. I think that the pitching, we can ride it to the point where the offense gets consistent and clicking enough to... I don't know if... I tell you what, I am more concerned that we may not win the division, but I think that the Phillies will get into the playoffs, which is the most important part.
Yeah, but remember this year, it's a one-game playoff if you're a wild card team. So winning division's huge.
True. True.
I'm going to say 8 because I don't know that Utley and Howard can come back and be full strength. That's my thing. Howard, is he going to be able to drive off that back leg? Who knows, you know? If I knew that they were going to come back and play really well, I'd say I'm not as worried. But what if Utley, you know, is not great offensively and Howard doesn't have any power? You know, then we're screwed, you know?
Yeah,
so
that's true. That is true.
Kind of my thing. If they come back and they're themselves, I'm not really worried. I'd say I'd be a 3. But you know, right now I'm worried.
Yeah, you're right. You don't know what they're going to come back as. Yeah. That's true.
And the wild card is not good. We have to play a one-game playoff. We'll have the pitching edge, yeah, but man, you know, we saw what happened last year in a one-game playoff against St. Louis, game 5.
Mm-hmm.
So, two balls hit the warning track and all of a sudden, bang. That's it.
Yep, yes indeed. All right, sir, question number 2. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, whatever, however you say their name.
Yeah.
They went out and signed Pujols for $70 bazillion. He has yet to hit a home run.
70 bazillion.
Exactly. So there's a lot of zeros in that number. But yeah, a ton of money. They knew he was going to be there until he was, what, like 42 he signed until or something like
right.
that?
Yep. They figured they'd get their money's worth the first half and, you know, deal with it the second
yeah,
half.
Yeah, he's yet to hit a home run. Should their owners and fans be worried that they wasted a whole bunch of money at this point, or is it too early?
Absolutely they should be worried. You know what? I actually, it's not going to be because just because he doesn't have any home runs. He slows. Here's the thing. You know, if players that sign these big money contracts are always like, oh, so much pressure. They put so much pressure on themselves to go right. earn it for the new fans. If you sign a contract like that in front of your hometown, it's not the same because they've right. seen you 10 years. They're not going to get on you. They're going to know you're going to turn it around. You're not going to be putting that kind of pressure on yourself, but you're putting so much pressure to impress these guys that you're trying to do too much and you start out slow. Now he's going to get hot eventually. However, the reason I say they should be worried about him is because how do we really know he's 32 years old? He's 37. You know what I mean? I mean,
true.
Every so often one of those Latin players comes out and it's like, no, I'm really 3 years older. Yeah, what if true. That's the case with Pujols? He looks kind of older to me. So I'd be a little worried that maybe he's older than we think. That's why I'd be worried. Once he gets going, they put that extra pressure on themselves when they switch teams, when they sign those huge deals. Once he gets going, he'll be all right. Learning all the new pitchers, everything else like that. But maybe he's a little older than we think. I wonder about that, too, because he has been trending down. So I definitely think that was a bad deal they signed. Believe it or not, I actually think the fielder contract is better for Detroit because he's younger, 27. So I'd rather give Fielder 10 years than Pujols, for sure.
Right.
So.
Yep.
All right, who has actually, I'm going to make this a two-parter.
Okay.
Part one, who has the better NFL career, Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin III? Part two, who has the better rookie season?
I think the answer to both of those is Andrew Luck. Here's why. I think that the ownership and the way that the Colts are run is better. It's just so much better. And what we see with young quarterbacks when they're coming right out of school, right into the NFL, if they're not put in a good situation, they can really, really just that's their whole career. If they don't play well their first 2 years, forget about it. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to be a bust, but right. I think that the Colts know how to build a winner. Whereas the Redskins under Daniel Snyder's ownership and under Mike Shanahan haven't been good. They just haven't been good. And I don't think they're going to put together a team that's going to enable him to succeed. And it could be a case where, you know,
he just loses his confidence.
Exactly. He loses his confidence or he gets benched for a couple of games and then they you know what I mean?
Yeah, could be. So, I think most people would say, yeah, he's going to have a better career. I actually think Robert Griffin III is going to have a better rookie year because – it's going to be both of them are going to obviously struggle at times in the rookie season passing it, but Robert Griffin can run.
Yeah.
So he can run out of trouble in the rookie season to give himself a little bit extra. I also think, obviously, Washington is probably a little bit of a better team than Indy right now. They did beat the Giants twice last year, and Indy, you know, did they beat anybody? What, 2-14? So yeah, I actually say Robert Griffin III, which I refuse to call him RG3. That's retarded.
Yeah,
That's like LOL.
Really? Can we just call him Robert Griffin? Can we leave off the third?
Yeah, I know, right? Really? You know exactly. You know, you can sign your name that way, but exactly, yeah. Robert Griffin. Yeah. I agree. Good call. But I don't care if he wants to be the third. I can live with that. But I'm not going to say RG3. That's just tart.
Yeah, yeah. He sounds.
Yeah,
like
I pick Robert Griffin is going to have a better rookie season though. I wouldn't be surprised if I was wrong.
R2G3.
Yeah, exactly. And I say Andrew Luck has a better career, but I think they're both going to be great. And I think they're both going to have great careers. So.
All right, I like it. All right, question four for you, sir. The kind of the popular pick. Obviously, I think probably 90% of all the pundits and the commentators say the NBA Finals is going to be the Heat and the Thunder. But give me somebody else. Who's a sleeper NBA Finals pick to come out of the West and come out of the East, or at least
East,
one of those?
I'll give you two sleepers in the West. I don't know if the Lakers really count as a sleeper. Probably not, I guess. But the Lakers, and honestly, maybe the Mavericks could surprise some people. I think the Mavericks were just coasting through the regular season, saving their energy for the playoffs with that compressed schedule. They're a veteran team. They, you know, the triple back-to-backs. So there's so much rest in the playoffs, especially in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Sometimes you get 3 or 4 days off in a row because they like to get everybody matched up on Sundays and good ratings days and things like that. So you already saw Dallas with the leadingest, you know, the Thunder. Thunder had to make a furious comeback right at the end to beat him in game one. And right now they're playing him tight in game two. So I think Dallas is going to be my dark horse pick.
There you go. I like it. So maybe a rematch, Dallas-Miami?
Could be. I know. I think Oklahoma City is going to beat Dallas if I had to pick one, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Dallas. I think, you know, yeah, Oklahoma City could sweep them, but win every game by 1 point. Dallas is going to be in every game.
True. Absolutely.
But I think they'll win a couple games at least, and they could pull it out. You never know. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers did it either, because Kobe, you can't put anything past the guy. And Gasol's great, and Bynum is great. You know, he had triple-double with 10 blocks in game one.
Yeah,
Bynum.
It's impressive.
That was insane. So
yeah.
Definitely don't be surprised if Kobe pulls one more out of his hat.
Yep. I would say that's a sleeper pick. But yeah, and you could definitely see him putting it together. I talked about this on my NBA podcast.
Would
I
you
think
rather
that...
have LeBron on your team in the last minute or Kobe? I mean,
you absolutely have Kobe.
Of course.
I said this too. To me, it goes Dirk, Kobe, Durant in that order. Like, none of those guys I want having the ball in the last minute of the game.
If you're the other team, yeah.
Especially
absolutely.
Dirk, because when he gets to the line, you know he's going to make both.
Dirk is just money, yeah.
Remember that one playoff series he made like
59
and 61 free throws or something like that?
Yeah,
like,
it's something insane. He's a 7-foot German goat, and how can you not root
exactly,
for that?
He's the MVG.
He is the most valuable goat of all time.
Exactly.
So, what about you? You got one real quick?
A sleeper finals pick? I would probably say... Yeah, I don't think there's any way anybody else comes out of the East, but
I just don't see it. Yeah.
We'll see. I would say that the Lakers. Yeah, see if the Lakers can put it together. It's a matter of, and I mentioned this again, go check out the other podcast, go download it now. Kobe's legacy is riding on this. You know what's funny is I read Bill Simmons' article and he said the same exact thing.
Yep.
I said it first.
Oh, nice.
But
Kobe's
legacy.
Kobe can keep moving up in that top 10, you know? He's already in the top 10.
Well, my point was a little different than his. My point was Kobe needs to prove to me that he can raise his team's play to another level, because we know how good his – you know, he's already got a good supporting cast, and we know how good he is. But can he make his team rise to the occasion? And this is also Phil Jackson's not there anymore. You know,
yeah, I don't know, man. I think Kobe's proven pretty much. He's got 5 rings. I don't know. I think Kobe. I don't
can
think
he do it against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Can he?
Yeah, he can. He can. Will he? I don't know, but he can. I think he's definitely beyond the benefit of the doubt at this point. He's a top 7-5 almost. He could move up into the top 5 of all time. That's the thing. He's already ahead. LeBron will never be as good on the all-time list as Kobe is if he retired right now. Like, LeBron, the ceiling for LeBron, unless he does something like 5 titles in a row and is clutch for them, you know, he's not going to be in the top 10. And Kobe's already there. So that's what I think. I think Kobe doesn't have anything else to prove. Yeah, that's your opinion. That's fair. But I think he's already proven anything.
All right. All right, so what you got next for Crossfire?
Who do you think the Phillies miss for, Utley or Howard?
Ooh, that's tough. I'm going to say Howard. Just at least insofar as the regular season goes, I just think they miss his power so much. You know, you're looking at somebody who's going to hit 35 to 50 homers, you know, 35, 45 homers. That's tough to replace. Utley's, you know, obviously a great defensive player, and I think he infuses the team with a lot of emotion, maybe more than any other player, but I think they just strictly miss Howard's kind of game-changing ability to go up and some pitcher who's dumb enough to throw a fastball down the middle, he's going to knock it out. So that's what I say.
I agree, but I'll qualify it by saying if you could take Utley from couple years ago, like hitting 330 with 30 home runs, then I'd say we'd miss him more.
Right.
But if it's just, you know, the last couple years, Utley, where he's batting like 280 or whatever like that, then yeah, Howard, you want that power. That's what they're missing, the lineup, the power. If Howard can come back and do a 40 home run pace for whatever games he plays, that would be unbelievable. I hope so. At least over 30, you know, the pace, you know, if you prorate it to 162, if he can do that, that'd be huge.
Yep.
I have a little bit of my doubts, but you know, if Utley could hit 300, that would be awesome. I don't know that he can. It depends on what how those guys both feel. But yeah, I'd say they miss Howard more also.
Yep.
Unless Utley can somehow turn into Utley of his prime, in which case he's obviously the better player than Howard.
I agree.
At the top of his game. But I don't know if we'll ever see that again. I hope so. But it's tough to really think that you will. So.
All right, sir. Last crossfire question. Real quick, knee-jerk reaction. Who do you think is coming out of the West in the NHL?
I think Los Angeles. I think the Kings. They're killing everybody right now. They already took out the one seed. Yeah, the Flyers West, exactly. Got coaches, players, everything. They already took out the one seed. They're up 2-0 on the two seed. They look pretty unstoppable. They've got the best goalie in the playoffs right now, the one that's playing the best. Great defense. Yeah, L.A. And the funny thing is I root for L.A. because I like Richards. Can't stand Carter if the Flyers lost. But I do not want Carter and Richards to win a cup against us. Right after we trade him. Oh, piss me off. I think we did the right thing with the trades. Again, I thought we could have kept Richards if he wasn't the captain. But we needed to change the culture. We didn't want a whole team full of people that wanted to just go out and get drunk every night. And Carter just sucked in the playoffs. But, yeah, if we lose, I root for them. But otherwise, I do not want them to beat us. That would be awful. I'd rather them lose before then, just to avoid that scenario.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's who it's going to be. It's going to be the Kings, I think.
Alrighty. Well, sir, I'm going to do some shout-outs, and then we can wrap this thing up. Alrighty.
Shout-out to everybody in the hood. Shout-out to everybody smoking that good. Shout-out to everybody in the club. Everybody getting live from the geeks to the thugs.
All right, gang, real quick shout-outs this week. A couple new followers and another follower that you definitely got to check out. At the Dom, D-O-M, and the letter B, at the Dom B, at FickNast, FICNASTT, at Stan Bleed Green, spelled just like it sounds, and also our boy Vince at Heck Philly. Apparently, he just wrote a book, so check out his Twitter and give his book. Check it out, and you know, if you like it, definitely purchase that. That's gonna do it for the show. Gonna wrap it up. And definitely, guys, check out the new and improved uponofficialreview.com. Probably do a redesign, but definitely check out all the articles, all the new blog posts that are coming out. And, you know, you can always get the links on the Facebook site and on the Twitter. So twitter.com/officialreview, uponofficialreview.com, and facebook.com/officialreview. You guys have a fantastic week. Go Flyers, and we will talk to you guys soon.
All I got to say is,
oh yeah.
What are you going to do? Because we got Claude Giroux.
I like it. A little twist. Yeah. A little twist on the we got Cliff Lee. I'm feeling it. We do got Claude Giroux, and he's amazing. You guys, take it easy.
Peace.
Peace.
Yeah. Drake Dennis. Where my Sixers fans at?
Show your love.
Philly. See the Sixers going him again. Ripping through their competition like they Hamilton. Yeah. Reppin' the city, getting love from their fans again.
Yes.
Doug Collins about to make us a champion. Jody Meeks, always trust him to stroke the three. Iguodala, Arada, gotta control the D. And get a banger too. And a few assists. Pass it to Elton Brand, mid-range, he never miss.
No.
We running on, better get us a comma. Yeah. It's holiday season, so you know we causing that drama.
Drew
getting them calls, he don't need it, it falls. Might miss it on purpose to see it put back by halls. Now let me tell you about the night shift.
Yeah.
For a bitch just good, you need a license. Evan Turner, never kidding, call him Dyfus. He like a caterer, he always bring the right dish.
Woo.
Zach Young, bring the hustle like he Russell. Show your love like you Cupid when he make the D shuffle.
Yeah.
You hear about our rookies, Lavoy and Vucevic.
Yeah.
Stepping in when we need him, we know that you will fit. Lil Will going and a blue pill. He'll shoot over four men, give a new grill. Ill, and we thrilling them all. In Philly like Mike Vick, so we killing them, dog. Let's go.
Shoot with it, drop with it. Show your love if you're watching it. Crush time, we will not miss it. You think your team better than ours, better stop kidding. I said, shoot with it, drop with it. Show your love if you're watching it. Crush time, we will not miss it. You think your team better than ours, better stop kidding.
Yeah, Sixers fans, go and show your love. Threes in the air, so they know what's up. Yeah, Sixers fans, go and show your love. Threes in the air, so they know what's up. Yeah, Sixers fans, go and show your love. Threes in the air, so they know what's up. Yeah, Sixers fans, go and show your love. Threes in the air, so they know what's up. What's up? Yeah. Philadelphia 76ers, putting on for the city. I go by the name of Drake Dennis. Follow me on Twitter at I am Drake Dennis. Philly. Yeah, Sixers fans, go and show your love. Threes in the air, so they know what's up.